This week, Earth joins us for a full rundown of the current Android RuneScape Mobile Beta. We run through combat, skilling, and performance. Also this week, parcels from the hedge and patch notes. This is RSBMB Update, episode 714, recorded Thursday, March 7th, 2019. A pleasant surprise. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for another episode of RSBMB Update. Tannis and myself are in once again this week, once again, this beginning of March.
Already.
Indeed. Very happy to be within March and marching onwards, I guess you could say, throughout this month and throughout the year. But also joining us this week to talk about the RuneScape Mobile expansion on Android, another 50,000 new slots, is Earth. Welcome back.
Howdy doodly.
You were the one that did that show while I was in the UK.
Yeah, and I'm still a little surprised that you speak to me after that.
But, well,
you know.
I mean, the show had to go out. The show must go on, right? So, I mean, even if it was, even if it didn't turn out the way you had anticipated.
Oh no, it turned out exactly how I wanted it to, Shane. That's why I didn't think you'd have me back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I didn't listen to the whole darn thing. I just listened
to
the
points. That wasn't a bug. It was a
feature. Oh, that's why I'm back. You didn't listen to what I did. Wait, you didn't listen to what I did?
I didn't listen to the full thing, no.
I put so much effort into that.
I was gonna download it for the plane ride back, but I forgot to before we took off.
You couldn't take, you know, however long that show was, that amount of time.
No, it would have made the plane ride a lot shorter. Oh, God, that was horrible. I don't want to think back to that. That was bad. That was bad. Anyways, if anybody wants to know about the plane ride back from London to Canada at some point in the future, do submit a discussion topic or question on that, and I can enlighten
Please
you on the entire thing, all the way down to the aircraft itself. But in case you're wanting us to get to the actual meat of the matter this week here, this week's main RS update is, of course, Parcels from the Hedge, the yearly return of Posty Pete, where you get rewarded for logging in each day. You'll get special rewards at 5, 10, 15, and 20 days throughout the entire month of March. At 5 days, you'll recover a lost property, a light lost property. That'll give you one fan mail, an easy clue, two small protein packs, and an aura refresh. This gets bigger at 10 days, moving up to a heavy parcel and a medium clue scroll, more protein packs, 5 daily D&D tokens, the aura refresh, and 2 life refreshes. Now, at 15 days, you get a bulky package, which includes 2 Slayer VIP coupons, sealed heart clue scroll, 1 Death Touch dart, a small bag of invention components, 2 aura refreshes, 2 life refreshes, and a sack of lost property. Then at 20 days, you get the weighty package, which includes an elite clue scroll, 2 protein packs, 3 Slayer coupons, 3 Death Touch darts, a small bag of invention components, a large bag of invention components, 2 aura refreshes, 3 life refreshes, and a parcel loot beam, which is the one that people are probably most after with this. So that's your benefit for logging into the game for the entire month of March for 30 days from March 4th onward. I don't know if there's much to say about this in terms of the fact that you just get these parcels while you're skilling in-game, and you collect postage stamps from them, and you can purchase all kinds of things ranging from different packages to, if you manage to collect 500 postage stamps, you can get Posty Pete's hat.
Okay.
Or a Posty title. Or
500, that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. It really is. Yeah. It really is. I kind of want the hat.
That makes me think back to, what was that game, Shane? It's all about the hat. Team Fortress.
Team Fortress.
Oh, yeah.
2.
Team Fortress 2 Hat Simulator. Yeah. And, you know, there are chances of getting these things from the parcels that you pick up while skilling. I know last year I got the Ring of the Defiled, which, of course, allows you to turn into Verac. So there's a chance of picking up some of these rings as well. Other rings include parcel rings, small, medium, large, and huge parcels, and one that lets you turn into each of the Barrows brothers as well. So, I don't know. I feel like, you know, at this point, this is just something that comes around every spring, and there's really not much else to say about it, except that if you want to, you can make it so that the stamps will go into your currency pouch, so that when you open up a parcel, you just click it, and then it goes into your currency pouch, and you're left with a couple of token gems that you receive when you open it. So, I discovered that this time. I don't know if that existed last year, but it's a thing nonetheless. So
I can't believe it was a year. It doesn't seem like it was a year.
Maybe it returned. Maybe it was a different time that it returned. But I feel like it was a year ago that we had this event. Yeah, it was actually May 1st, 2018.
Huh. All right.
So it's 2 months sooner. 2 months sooner this time. So, all right. Anything else on this? I mean, we could talk about what we each want to get, but the new UI is nice, and log in every day for something free.
Free, like free.
I think that's all we got.
Free's good.
So,
yeah, there's not a great deal to it.
Yeah. All right. Well. Let's move on then to what everybody's most excited about. Then an extra 50,000 spots were opened up this week on the Android mobile beta. And, you know, we are both iOS users here. So this was the biggest challenge of producing this week's show. Find somebody yeah. who used Android, whose name wasn't Sirion, who has talked about this extensively for us in the past. And we found him.
Yeah, sure. Shane's lying. It wasn't difficult. I was like, hey, I got this. He was like, oh, please come on the show. So I did. And now I'm here.
Yeah.
I just want the listeners to remember that in the past, I have been, like, extremely
critical,
skeptical and critical of this. Well, maybe not critical, but wary of this, right? So, I am extremely pleased with it.
And you're not a mobile gamer. I think we need to get that out.
No, first. I hate mobile gaming.
Here.
Like, I just don't find it fun. I would rather sit down on my computer or play something with a controller, sit on my couch or in my bed. But, like, my phone, I'm very minimalistic about it. Like, I don't... I use it primarily for texting and also calling and, like, you know, chat apps.
You use your phone for what a traditional person uses their phone for?
Yeah, if I'm 80.
Or me.
Like, I wouldn't call you traditional, Shane. But I'm extremely pleased with it. I plan on playing it when it comes out, which was not something that I
not something you were anticipating. And would you say it's going to increase the amount of time that you spend on RS? Because I know for the last 6 months to a year, you've been kind of on and off.
I've gotten more experience in the last 2 days. Well, no, not since like the beginning of the year, because I think I got summoning, or maybe that I've gotten 500,000 experience in the past couple of days. Granted, it's in cooking, but like within such a short time period, that is so much for me because I hate cooking. Like, what I did was I was, I mean, some of this, like, I was testing, but, like, then it was like, hey, this is fun, so I went and did that. This was beyond what I was doing for the show.
Hey, maybe you might find divination fun on your phone.
No.
Should we tell that story?
No.
Okay.
Maybe later. We'll see. Okay, you keep interrupting me. So I logged in just extremely skeptical of it, not expecting it to go or run well, and I was wrong. It very much did. It was extremely impressive. I gave Shane a couple of videos, which I think you'll put in the show notes.
Yeah, and
right?
If you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing those now.
Oh, cool. Okay, neat. Which one are you showing them?
I am showing the combat right now.
Combat one. Okay. So I am not – I'll talk about that then. I'm not a very combat-oriented person, but I still wanted to test it out. So pulled up my Slayer ring, saw what my task was, and it was those are rock slugs, right? Is that right?
I honestly don't know what those are.
I'm pretty sure they're rock slugs. They're the first thing in the – yeah, they are. That's right. Which, I mean, you know, not the most impressive enemy. As you can see from me one-hitting them. But, like, I really like that interface. It took me a little while to figure it out, and I think that was on screen when I was figuring that out.
I have a question if I can ask you.
Okay.
How do you feel about how the action bar has been set up in that at the bottom you have obviously the revolution bar, and then at the left and the right you have the bigger icons, which I think are designed to be used with your thumbs. How do you feel about
the
thumb
controls?
Yeah,
so the way, from what I understand, is the thing at the bottom is like the auto cast one.
Yeah,
so that's
revolution.
Like all your basic abilities. And then the ones on the side are the ones that you want to trigger manually at a certain point. And I like that a lot. I think that I would dare say that is, well, I guess if you actually put time into it and do hotkeys, but like off the bat, it's a lot easier for me to use than on the computer.
Okay. I have another question now, if I can.
The action bar to that. Okay.
What is this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that keeps appearing at the bottom of the screen? Is this something with your phone or is this within the app?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
Yeah. At about 40 seconds in that video, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Is that the action bar switching UI? I think.
Let me take a look. You said 40 seconds in?
Yeah. Because that's what it looks like to me, and I just wasn't sure if that was an in-app thing or if it was something on your phone.
40 seconds.
Because there's been some talk and patch notes before about changing the way that they control the action bar toggles and whatnot for what comes up. So that's what I was wondering, if that was the method that they had settled on.
Hold on, it's loading.
All right. And, I mean, just from what I have seen of
everything
you provided,
that's how
FPS
you,
is
that
good.
Was me trying to figure out the action bars. Okay. Those are the 6 action bars you have, and whatever I was holding, it was showing. Like, if I hit 1, it would go to action bar 1. 2, it would go to action bar 2.
Okay.
Right? So, like, what was I saying? I find that more intuitive to use than the way it is by default on PC, but I guess that's because it, you know, kind of forces you to figure out what you're
mm-hmm.
doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I am not and probably will not ever be a person who's particularly good at combat in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Revolution gets us most of the way we need to go.
Yeah, because I'm not going to go bossing. I'm not going to go... Slayer is about my limit.
Right.
I don't care about anything.
You're not going to go kill Telos or Araxor.
I don't even know what Telos is, if I'm being completely honest. Okay,
fair enough.
All right, so...
Where to next?
That's the combat one. And okay. Then can you pull up... The other one was me skilling, right? Is cooking in the cooking guild?
No, this was you figuring out how to get to Varrock.
Oh, right. Okay, so...
You didn't send me one of you cooking in the cooking guild.
I can do that later.
All right, thank you.
And I guess you can edit that in post show. I'll talk about that in a minute.
All right.
So I sent Shane a video. This is pretty much right after I'd logged in for the first time. I had no idea what I was doing. And I think that may be a weakness. Now, I have a question for you, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So the UI that it gives me that is independent from mine on the computer, and it's like... therefore given by default to everyone, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The only thing that should persist over are your action bar setups.
Okay. So, like, if you see me clicking on the magic symbol,
mm-hmm.
for some reason they have, like, magic abilities and then spells separated out.
Right.
That confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, and that icon changed too recently.
Yeah, no, but, like, I click on that, and I can access the magic abilities, but not the magic spells.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when I figured out how to get to the magic spells, I could also see the abilities in there, if I remember correctly. So, like, that didn't make much sense to me. And, I mean, I guess for people who... choose to use lodestones, which is like everyone but me, like that UI is probably fine and they don't use magic as often.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little confusing to me.
Yeah. I think it's comes down to a root issue of not exposing the root menus of the game, like the powers menu, the adventures menu and whatnot.
Yeah, like, I would have no problem with it if it did the abilities, but it was, like, all of them.
Yeah,
like,
and then...
there are one button for attack, strength, defense, magic ranged, there's constitution ones too, right?
Yeah,
And
defense.
And defense, yeah. Like, if it had one and I could go into all of those, that would be fine.
Yeah,
but like
what you're looking for is the powers menu, which is the one with three swirling white stars.
Okay, powers is the same thing as abilities, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what to call things.
Yeah,
I've just always called them abilities.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so I mean, so I just have a list here, like. The strengths of it overall are the graphics. I mean, this is on a phone, right?
Incredibly like, smooth, I will say.
Yeah, no. And I mean, that was all of this stuff that you're watching. This was recorded using my phone's like built-in recording thing. And that puts stress on it.
Yeah.
Like, so it was that smooth even while recording. Which
you just
make for my phone.
You just make me want this for iOS even more.
You can't record a screen?
Oh no! You can record a screen. I mean the mobile beta.
Oh okay. So I mean it does look a little blurry, and I think that they're just going for lower graphics options.
Yeah.
You know, in the beta, and maybe in the future that they'll be upped, right?
Yeah.
And
it comes down to the core capabilities of the GPUs on the phone, and you
correct.
Know, just making sure you have a baseline
for all devices. A flagship phone. So it makes sense that I can run it well.
Mm-hmm.
Also good is the dialogue interface. And I've given Shane a video, which I believe he's going to put in post. So y'all won't notice anything, but I will. The dialogue interface is really good, really fluid. And it just looks aesthetically pleasing to me as well. I would go as far as saying it looks better than the one on the PC.
That says something.
No, I like the one on the PC. It's very simplistic, okay. Which is what it needs to be. This one, has a little more flair to it, but, it's not, I don't know, distracting or anything. It's good.
Yeah. And this is the UI that we saw at the tail end of December, Tannis, when they put out that mobile dev blog that we criticized them for at the time. That was not raising the appropriate, I guess, rallying the community in the right way. And, I mean, obviously at this point it's turned out well, which is good. So we do have to commend them for the extra time on that.
Didn't you send that to me and I looked at it and I was like, this is really bad.
Yeah, that was it.
So, again, this is a complete 180 for me on this. The, skill guide menu, that's one of few things that they had to condense down for mobile. As you see in the video, I'm not sure if I'm there yet or have already passed it. I go through a lot of the settings menus, and that's pretty much just the one on PC, but, I don't know. It looks pretty much the same, honestly.
Yeah, and
not even scaled.
And they actually did do a port of that last year. They changed it so that it looks exactly the same on PC as it looks on mobile now. And that was a little hidden update to that skilling UI. So.
Oh, so the skilling thing looks UI. Exactly like it does on PC.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it fit well for mobile. I think. I have a lot of issues with the settings interface as a whole, just because of how much of a mess it is.
But that's a topic for another show entirely, because we've talked about settings a lot here and ensuring we have sane settings to make sure that we have good defaults with it. So,
well, no, not even that. Everything is just buried within 50 different menus, right? Yep. I'm sure there are settings in there that I should probably change, but I don't even know how they exist or know where to find them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same on mobile, but on PC, there are three different places you can enable or disable the Slayer counter in the settings.
That's ridiculous.
That was in your article, wasn't it, Shane?
Yes, it was, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com.
Nice plug, Shane. Where did I set my notes? I'm walking around. That's a problem with the wireless headset. Okay, so I also did something in the video where I chatted. That was easy. I really like that as well. And I think the video shows that I'm using my keyboard and I can swipe to talk. And it just puts the whole word in there. So, they didn't try to implement their own keyboard or anything. It uses mine. I can do stuff like hold down the backspace button and it deletes the whole word. But, it doesn't do something where there's, a buffer where you type and then you hit enter and then it puts it in the game and it sends it. You are typing within the game client in that font and everything.
That's pretty good. One of the things that I noticed when I tried this back at RuneFest with mobile is that the buttons to access chat were practically invisible on the screen. But I can actually see it right up here at the top left of some of the screenshots that you sent that you have this red one. And I assume that means unread chat messages up there. And if you tap that entire area,
that is something that I do have an issue with, because you have this minimized one. Like, there's the full one, there's the minimized one, and then there's the hidden one with the number on it.
Right.
If you scroll up accidentally on the minimized one, it doesn't go back down, and it's really difficult because it's so small to scroll it back down. Okay. So, like, someone could send you a message, and you might not even know.
Yeah. I would that's actually a fairly big thing. From the sounds of it, there's a forum where you can post feedback on mobile, and I would actually probably input something in there about this chat box issue then.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that they have been working on for a while and needs some refinement still from the looks of it.
I mean, that may just be because I have it in a case.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
But, like, it's hard to get – actually, it is because it's in a case. But, like, I mean, I'm not the only person who uses a case, so it's still, like,
something
matters
to think of. I have a question, actually, on this. One of the things that that they mentioned that they were working on is the difference of how they're going to implement a right-click. And I know they had talked about doing tap and hold. So where are we left with that?
Tap and hold, which I think is the correct decision.
Yeah, and I think that's what other mobile games do too as well, if I remember correctly, right?
Correct.
So
that's what the Android OS itself does.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you want further interactions with something, you hold on it.
Right. And
tap and hold.
And on iOS, we have the moniker to press harder on the screen to do that. I don't know if that'll work when we get the iOS beta, but that's a topic for a different day.
Okay. Okay, so something else I do like about the dialogue thing is one of those buttons is a quick reply to your most recent private chat, like hitting tab on the RS client.
Oh.
Yeah, which that was something that I was like, because everything's pretty small, right?
Yeah.
So finding the person and then either looking in your friends list or holding on them in the chat and hitting reply was kind of a pain.
And is that, the red backgrounded number one?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is with it fully expanded.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's another thing. The one isn't really clear what it is. And I wish you could customize what. And you may be able to, I'm not sure. I haven't, like, delved through every single setting, right?
Right. Okay. Pivoting back towards
I have something else to say on the chat, and then I'm going to move on to something else.
Okay.
There's no split private chat, which is one of my favorite features of the main game, because, like, it just gets lost in all of the other things.
And that goes all the way back to RS2.
Yeah, no, that's... I would like split private chat somehow. Those are my only complaints about the chat. Overall, it's good. I do have some criticisms, though.
All right.
But what did you want to ask me first?
How is selecting an NPC to attack? Because I know, of course, if you're using a mouse, you just click on it and away you go. Whereas one thing I did see at the top left of your screen was tap to find target. What exactly does that do?
I don't know. That's not something I used. That might be something useful. I don't know if that's even a feature in the PC version of the game or not. Like I said, I'm not really a combat person.
I know on the PC you can press tab to change targets. I do know that much. I don't use that, but I know it exists.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that exists.
Yeah.
Existed. So my settings, which I think in the video I paused on for a second, anything lower or equal to my combat level, I can just click on
an
attack. Anything higher, I have to hold it, tap and hold, and then hit attack. Which, I think that's how it still is in the base game, right? Like, I'm just such a high combat level now, and I don't boss, but I very rarely see that.
Yeah, and they actually made it so you can customize that, too. I don't know if that
exists
somewhere.
Yeah, no, you can change that.
Yeah. So.
And I'm certain that, like, I mean, that's more of a feature for lower level players anyway, because if you're going, if you're, like, I'm combat 130 something, and if I go somewhere where something's a higher level than me, it's probably a boss.
Right.
So, like, but, you know, I'm not a level 30, and there's, like, a level 60 wolf or some shit, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That I'm going to accidentally attack.
Kill yourself with.
Okay. Any other questions?
You know, I think just performance-wise, we see it runs well. And the dithering is, of course, due to the video process that we saw. How hot did it make your device? As I know, that was another thing that they were concerned about initially.
Not at all. I did check that. Like, I even took it out of its case and, like, felt all around it with my wrist, and it hardly seemed warm at all. And so my phone is the Samsung Galaxy S8 Active, which is different from the normal one. Like, a lot of people who work in places where there's a lot of dust and stuff get that, because the normal one's it's a little different. So I don't know if that's because of them or my phone being literally made to be more durable. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And you did also send some screenshots of the battery usage, and I mean, nothing really is standout-ish. It's not as though it's taking a huge amount of battery on your device, more than you would normally expect, I think. So, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, and
as well.
I mean, you can, if you want to pull those screenshots up, you can show them. But
yeah, I got that right here. Using less battery
right now
than the Android core system and the
camera.
Okay,
so I can explain that too.
All right.
Let me explain this. So, are you looking at the one where battery usage is underlined or discharging?
Discharging.
Speed? Okay, so discharging speed is just how much battery usage it's actually going to use. Like, but so like this one, but in parentheses, it's how much it actually used.
Oh, okay.
Battery usage is just showing what percentage it used and how much it used, right?
Right.
Let me see. I'm going. I have an app that tracks this, so I'm just going through it and looking to see.
10.6% or 459 milliamp hours.
Yeah. So, on one of them. It used 18%, and that was for about probably an hour and 20 minutes.
Of straight gameplay. I think that's pretty good, too.
That's pretty good.
For considering Shane, what it's doing.
And Shane, you can explain the significance of this, because I sure as hell can't, but I do know mine has a large battery. Design capacity is 4,000. That's what, milliamp hours?
Yeah.
So can you,
I'm not entirely sure how large that one is in terms of capacity, but,
what does your phone have, Shane?
I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I'm going to say, I don't know.
Okay. You have an iPhone, what?
8 Plus. Apparently we have a battery capacity of 2675 milliamp hours.
Okay, so yours is, I'm not going to do that fraction, Shane. 2.5/4, so that's 5/8. So yours is... I think about 2/3 is a reasonable...
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
But I don't know how iPhones are on battery usage either. But basically, it's about what you would expect for battery usage, in short. It's not ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and play it for 1.5 hours and not expect it to drain 20% of my battery, right?
Yeah, and I'd say 20% is fairly good.
Yeah, no, like, that's actually really good. Because my phone, with how I use it, I only have to charge it, like, every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I, like, am using it a lot for some reason.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat, too.
And, I mean, it didn't interfere with that. So, but I'm really pleased with how that has turned out.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they've done their... If they've done their battery optimizations yet, because I know last we heard from them that they really hadn't done much in the realm of optimization for battery and performance yet.
Well, okay, so some things to keep in mind with this. Apple doesn't really have a flagship phone, I guess, but like you have the Plus, which is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
I assume from the name. And I have a Samsung Galaxy, which is their flagship. I don't have enough information here to say whether or not like this will be good for all users, you know?
But it's good for you, and it's good for
this
presumably.
Is like taking a high-end gaming PC, playing a game at max specs, and it works great. You can't conclude that it'll work great for everyone.
Yeah, definitely,
right?
Definitely.
So, but it does work well on mine for what that's worth.
All right.
You'll need to see if you can find anyone with a mid-range Android phone.
Yeah.
As well.
Listeners, that's your cue.
Yeah, listeners, please send something in to Shane if you've got middle-of-the-road Android phone. Just see how that runs. Let's see. So, on my notes here, I have several good things. And to my great surprise, I only had one bad thing. One.
And?
It's in all caps with an exclamation point.
Oh, dear.
The bank.
Dennis, that's a bit of a touchy subject, isn't it?
Huh.
Why?
Well, that's, I could see it happening. I mean, I could see why it would be a problem.
Why is the bank a touchy subject?
Because there was a bank rework that was planned, and it has been postponed indefinitely for the time being.
But maybe placeholders, but if you ask people what they think a rework is, they think placeholders, and I'm confused.
The bank is bad. And that is the only thing in this entire beta that I have used, and my conclusion was bad. Like the inventory screen where you,
like the flyout of it on the right of the bank.
Yeah. On the right side, really bad. Because it's like 2x4, 2 wide, 4 deep. And that's all you get. So you have to scroll. You can't see your entire inventory. And that is not great. That is hands down my biggest criticism of this update, and I think
is
my
a criticism,
only significant one.
It's also a criticism of the core game, too, when you think about it.
One on the desktop is fine. I've never had an issue with it.
Well, there we have it, folks. I mean, we've been saying this forever, that the bank rework probably doesn't need to be done. Maybe placeholders on the desktop, but...
Oh, no, I never said that. But, like, it's
confirmed.
A rework, not... I don't know. It's... feel like you're trying to put words in my mouth there.
Oh, no,
to,
I'm not at all. I'm basically saying what I'm saying and what I'm thinking internally is that, you know, people want the bank rework on the PC for placeholders, but it
seems
as though...
I mean, I think that would be nice.
It would be. It would be. And we have long been a proponent here on the show that, hey, we don't need a bank rework.
We or you?
The both of us, Dennis and myself.
Yeah, I agree.
That okay. We don't really need
I think
a
placeholders is all that's needed.
Placeholders are all that's needed. And
what else could you add?
Well,
they had a whole thing. Man.
Yeah, the concept included things like infinite tabs, metadata searching,
metadata searching.
More presets.
How does that mean?
Stuff we didn't
like
need,
if you
man.
Type food, it would pull up all the food items in the search.
Doesn't everyone just use a single type of food?
That's a million-dollar question, I guess.
I mean, I got all kinds of different food, but I don't...
How much of
I
it do you use?
I don't know. Maybe three kinds at the most.
Yeah. But what I was thinking is, what if this mobile launch is indeed the thing that kicks the momentum to the side of actually needing to do the bank rework? Because looking at what you said here, the bank is pretty rough on mobile. And from the way they have talked, there is no real way to structurally change the bank as it is right now without doing the complete rework.
Like, shit, I'm not asking for a bank rework. I'm asking for a thing on the side that's... Like, hell, I even get not being able to show the equipment at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's a non-issue for me.
Yeah. Maybe you can't – maybe it's only 2x4 or 2x5 rather because smaller screen sizes.
I mean, yeah, my phone – what's the resolution of that video, Shane? 22 –
21 something by something by 1440.
I think it's 2220 by – 1080 or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's big.
Like, I do recognize that I have a larger screen than most. But also, like, you know, I feel like that is unacceptable. Just having that little.
You think it's a deal breaker?
I mean, the rest of it works fine, but I'm going to use the bank as little as I have to, if that's how it looks, right?
Right.
So it's, like, really super tiny? Like, are we talking you can't hit one little thing because your fingers? Like,
I mean, the loadouts work fine.
Presets. Yeah. Okay.
Those work fine. But just looking at what you've got in your inventory, like, you have to scroll to see the whole thing. And that's just not... That ain't
Are you
good.
Talking about in the bank or in the general window?
Well, both. I mean, I think I scrolled at the inventory a couple of times there for you.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys me because I feel like there shouldn't need to be – that shouldn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Stella? Puppy. feel like it shouldn't need to be there because the stuff at the bottom are buttons, like the currency thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess neat info to have, but, like, I feel like they could do that better, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Anything else we need to talk about with mobile?
I had a question.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to try like a tablet or anything with it?
No.
Okay, cool.
See, if people are playing this on tablets, then like the bank and stuff is like that's even worse.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was gonna say if anybody does want to play RuneScape on a tablet, your best bet is probably just going to be to get a Surface and do it that way.
Well, that's going to be like my
hard
only.
Disagree.
Oh, it doesn't choice. Work well?
I mean, it works, but like when you say if you want to play RS on a tablet, it sounds like you're saying I want to touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interface, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. That's not going to work well on a computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for the mobile experience.
So you want the touchy experience bigger. Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, big enough to where I might have a chance.
Okay, that makes sense.
To do simple things, you
right.
know?
Right. Right. Okay. I don't have any other questions. I think I've asked all I needed to do. My biggest ones were about the heat and the battery usage. You pretty much covered everything else from chatting to skilling to interacting with NPCs to even combat, which I was just expecting us to have a bit of a conversation about how it worked and what your initial impressions were, but you obviously went well much deeper into that, so I'm pleased. I think it sounds like it's in a good spot personally from what your mm-hmm. experience has been. So.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's definitely in a good spot.
That makes me feel good. 'Cause
if they fix the bank, like, I truly think that is the most difficult, or the bank is, like, the worst part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as I said, that was the only thing I had written down under bad.
Yeah, and this makes me feel good because, you know, playing with this at RuneFest, it felt very rough at the time.
And yeah, I mean,
the fact we're looking at what is amounts to only 4.5 months of progress after that, and you're able to come to us with this review of it on Android, and the very fact it's playable and the user interaction seems good. I think progress has been made, so that's really good to hear.
Absolutely, it has been made. Like, I mean, I am a little surprised myself at how well it is, because I think. I don't think I need to tell you that I have never hesitated to criticize Jagex when I feel that they have done something poorly.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, they have been on a bit of a roll recently, these past couple months. So
yeah, like this is this beta right now is better than I expected the final product to be by like a significant degree. So.
Excellent. Excellent.
I don't know if that says more about my expectations or what, but like.
Well, I think anytime a player can be happy, that's good.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, I think being skeptical is completely fair.
Yeah. Especially with the talk we had leading up to Christmas, right? Our idea mm-hmm. going up to Christmas would be that, you know, it's going to be well into the end of Q1 of 2019 before we even see more beta added and a release, if optimistic, Q4 this year. So that was our initial impression in December.
I think Q4 is still a reasonable expectation for the final product, but it's not going to be, you know, half-assed. I think it'll be very good.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions, Tanis?
No. I mean, he Earth does it right, man. Above and beyond.
Indeed.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the patch notes then in that case, because we do actually have some mobile patch notes for this week that can tie into this. So mobile updates after November have been slipstreamed into the core game updates each and every week. So this week, I'm just going to go through some of them. The following changes have been made to the bug reported to improve its usability on both PC and mobile clients, such that we have split the two fields, description and reproduction, steps into two separate screens. The intention behind this is that on mobile, the on-screen keyboard would cover the bottom text entry, so splitting them into two resolves this. And as part of the above, we have also relocated the remaining characters counter to the top of the entry, and as it is now split into multiple screens, there are now additional navigation buttons to allow you to go back and make a change to your report if you require it. Bug report is important. They have also done some work to fix the issue where your NPC chat and multiple choice dialogues would end up squashed into the middle of the screen. And they thought that this was resolved, but thanks to the efforts of the awesome beta testers, they managed to get a more accurate reproduction on the issue and have resolved it. Continuing on, further improvements have been made to the mini menu navigation and scrolling. You should notice that the mini menu is less likely to close when you are trying to navigate, and also you are less likely to lift your finger early and select something prematurely. So I'm assuming this is our press and tap, or tap to hold right-click option. From the sounds
of it. I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I will trust you on that one.
Loading screens are now also going to be enabled always on the mobile client. They have decided that they absolutely need to have them, and as a result, the following changes have been made to make sure that they are doing what they're designed to do. The graphics option to disable loading screens has been removed on mobile. PC remains unchanged, and the option to disable loading screens from within a loading screen has also been removed. The following changes have also been made to the screen sizing section of the graphics option. To improve this, they have renamed resizable to windowed, along with the removal of fixed, and this reflects an established PC standard. Naming convention, full screen is unchanged. So the RuneScape fixed window that we had going back to all the way to RS2 has been canned. Finally.
Good.
The resolution drop-down field was the only relevant when in full screen. To reflect this, the drop-down has been placed within the full screen button. And PC-specific terminology has been removed from these descriptions in favor of more ambiguous terms so that it is mobile compliant. F indeed. Fixed window restricts the game size to 800x600, 4x3 aspect ratio, and this is a feature only used by 1% of NXT and Java players. In the future, we want to fully support 16x9 as our new standard for both desktop and mobile, which adds unnecessary complication to the code if we keep supporting fixed window mode. From today's update, this option has been removed from the game. 1% of players were on fixed window mode.
Wow.
1%. All right, now on to some other changes from last week in regards to Elite Dungeon 3. The special attack of the Eldritch Crossbow is no longer capped at 750. For those who don't know what that special attack does, this is the reverse of the Soul Split Curse, such that when you're attacking an enemy and it damages you back, rather than healing you, this special will deal the damage back at the enemy. It used to be capped at 750. Charge bows will now take into account the arrows equipped or held in your equipped quiver, so that special effects like those of Dragonbane and Blackstone arrows can be used with them, and damage will be reduced to the lowest tier of the arrow or charge bow. Charge bows will also work as usual when no arrows or another type of ammunition is held in the ammo slot. And then,
really?
Yeah.
Yep. That's really interesting.
So what this basically lets someone do is if you have, I believe it is the Zaros bow? No, or it's one of the bows from Nax that doesn't use ammunition. The Zarite bow, that's the one. If you have a Zarite bow, for example, or even a crystal elf bow, you'll be able to equip one of these kind of arrows and have it use that effect, but brought down a tier.
Huh.
Neat.
And what this has the benefit of doing is it allows those Blackstone arrows and Dragonbane to be used with those bows. It adds more utility to those bows. I don't know specifically where this could be useful, but I mean, if you have the ranged level to equip the arrow and you're using, say, a Zarite bow, because let's face it, people aren't going to buy a tier 92 crossbow just to use Blackstone arrows. So it makes a lot of sense, I think, on this one. Let's see. I want to look up the Zarite bow because I'm not sure what level it is. I think that one is currently... Okay, that's tier 80. And, I mean, how do we feel about tier 80 at this point?
I still use it.
Okay.
I use it when I'm broke.
I still use the Saradomin God Sword.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I did have a question, though. Is the Saren bow a charge bow? Is there ammunition for that?
I'm not entirely sure. Let me have a look on that. The Saren bow from God Wars 2?
From Telos.
Oh, right? Telos, right. That's where that comes from. The Saren bow is a... Let's see. Yeah, no ammo. It doesn't use ammo, okay. So the Saren God Bow is a place you would use this. And it's tier 92.
There you go.
Nice. This might be the patch note of the week.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well, we're not combat people here, so of course, combat people, if you're listening, you'll correct us if we're wrong. Tier 3 urns have been renamed to plain urns to prevent some confusion with daily challenges. After killing the ambassador, dungeon progress is reset as expected. Killing the Crassian Leviathan now correctly awards kill count if you kill it after it swap sides. Then some little engine changes this week. Resizing the game window should no longer cause the game to crash.
That's good.
Yeah. Minimaps should now show things like rugs, the floor at the Grand Exchange, and should not show ground decor, which were sometimes visible as speckles on the current minimap. And display names and clan channels are now ordered alphabetically, regardless of case.
Oh, thank God. That has annoyed the hell out of me for years.
Me too. I'm scrolling through the clan chat list, and it's like, oh, I guess this guy's not online. Oh, we'll scroll a bit more. Oh, there he is. So, good patch notes this week, I think. So,
yes.
All right. Not too much else to mention this week regarding this. I'll just take a moment to talk about the month ahead, I think. As expected, we are getting the fire making update this month, the incense burners and fire spirits quality of life changes. So that is good. We're also seeing next week on March 11th, the removal of Bounty Hunter as well, which is something, of course, that wasn't used. So this will bring in Wilderness Slayer as well with this. So we'll be having some danger.
What the hell is Wilderness Slayer?
Instead of Bounty Hunter points, there will be a new Slayer Master you can get tasks from, and you will need to complete his tasks in the wilderness.
Okay.
And you'll get Bounty Hunter points from it.
Are you going to go out and do some PKing, Shane?
No. No, thank you.
Yeah, me neither.
No. We'll talk more about that next week, and I think this is going to be maybe a chance to try and get more people into the wilderness. I'm not sure if there will be a PKing community around them. Thoughts? Yes, no, or is that
will there
sale?
Be a PKing community?
Yeah, to go hunt the people doing
I
Slayer.
Hope not.
I think it's just going to irritate people. Are just going to be pissed. There's always, I mean, I don't know. It's always trolls.
Yeah. And, I mean, we'll have an in-depth discussion on this next week. But on the 18th, we have incense burners and fire making, fire spirits, quality of life changes. And we have the final list of all of the effects here right now. Ramping players up to receive these. This is one of Mod Timbo's Game Jam updates. We always love his updates. Should we run through the list, or should we save this for the 18th when it comes out?
Your call.
I don't know. We'll definitely be going into it on the 18th.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it then.
They didn't take us up on our idea, Shane.
No, I'm going to be a little bit more persistent with Mod Timbo this week, see if we can get that in as a last change on that. Because, I mean, I would love to see that happen, but I think there's
love
an ulterior...
to see what happened.
The higher-tiered ones, incense burners that use Torstal and Felstock herbs, are going to use magic logs. I would like to see them use elder logs instead.
Okay.
But I have a creeping suspicion that they're using more magic logs at the top four, Lantadimi, Dwarfweed, Torstal, and Felstock, to try and see how many magic logs they can remove from the economy without changing any drop tables.
Fair enough.
That's my suspicion of what's happening with this. We'll see if I'm right. Then on the 25th, we have a new Slayer dungeon outside of the Slayer Tower that you need level 100 dungeoneering to access. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Dark Beast.
Yeah. And also this month, we're going to see some changes to Next Angel of Death that have been in the pipeline for a while. I think I might need to get 100 dungeoneering for this update.
Oh, you want to do some dungeon?
No, I'm 500k away. I can do that with sinkholes by then.
Oh, that's true.
So,
yeah, you got any of those like daily re-roll tickets?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and the transmogrification unification—that is a mouthful.
It is. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be bringing that into a submenu of the emotes interface. With they say with over 40 transmogs in-game, we're aware that they take up a lot of bank space, and all too often you don't have the one you want on hand. Boy, saving bank space again.
Yeah. Do they... Man, I must have imagined it. I could have swore they said something about getting a treasure hunter items... bank thing.
We have that. We have that.
For treasure hunter?
Oh, treasure trails. No. Treasure hunter, anything you get from there just goes into Diango when you destroy it, right? So you can just put them in there.
But not like all the protein packs. Oh. You know, just there's so much crap from that.
I think you might have imagined that.
Oh, man. That's a bummer. I really thought that was coming out in March.
Yeah, I have not heard anything of that. That's okay, though. I've dreamt up updates like that before, too.
Yeah, don't daydream when you're listening to the to the month ahead stream. You get confused.
Yeah. But
Shane getting confused?
No, never.
What?
Well, of course, we'll have full coverage of all these updates as the month goes on. So, all right, I believe that's it. I got one more actual little thing I discovered earlier today that I want to share with everybody. It is RuneScape related. It is a preview of the song and the music track that we're going to have with the Easter event. They call it a RuneScape Music Easter Tease, so there is definitely something Easter-related going to be happening this year. So let's have a listen to that.
It's pleasant.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing more and more of all these great music tracks coming into the game.
They do music, man. They're good.
Yeah, definitely.
I could definitely picture like little Easter Bunny or something, just like hopping down a lane, some colored eggs, you know.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens for Easter this year. But that should be some good fun when it arrives. All right. So before we get on to our questions of the week, I'll just take a moment and thank our wonderful Patreon supporters this week for the podcast. And this week we would like to thank Ben W., Brock H., Diana, Jason R., Kyle, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your wonderful support of RSBNB Update. We wouldn't be providing what we do if it weren't for all of you guys. So thank you, all of you, for your support of our podcast. It means the world to us.
Thanks.
And if you want to find out more about this and figure out how you could become a Patreon supporter for as little as a dollar a month, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB. And there you'll find three tiers of support. And for $1 a month, you can subscribe to us and you'll receive a special mention in our show notes, as well as early access to those show notes, as well as the ability to join in our roundtable discussions whenever we do them. And you'll also be, of course, helping to fund the costs for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of this show. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each week, as well as exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And yeah, we're still in March, so that's about 9 months away, so there's a long time to wait for that clip show. You can get access to all of those early. And it's worth noting that for subscribing at any tier, you, of course, do also gain access to the entire backlog of what we call monthly bits. These are our monthly bonus shows that we do each and every month. We post them to Patreon. Last month's was about money making with Skilling, and that was a really surprising one for us. I'm glad we did that. It was more of a rundown than a discussion, but it was a new format for us, and I think we learned some stuff along the way, too, so that's good.
Yeah, make runes.
Definitely.
Make runes.
Yeah. And we're currently also aiming to do, at the end of this month, inside RSBNB Update, I believe Tanis is up, including, and this will include interviews with our hosts and production team, as well as learning how the podcast comes together. And you'll be able to have a sneak peek, maybe, just maybe, of where we record the podcast. And if for some reason we should reach $50 a month, on the first Saturday of each month, we'll be doing an RSBNB Update roundtable hosted on Discord, where topics of discussion will include anything and everything RuneScape related. And finally, if we, for some absurd reason, reach $99 a month, we'll do movie night in the RSBNB Discord. I just can't imagine there being people who would support the podcast so much that we would reach $99 a month. We would be, of course, truly.
I'm great, Shane. Who doesn't want to give me money?
We would, of course, be truly ecstatic if we did reach that tier. So if you
don't
wanna...
act like you'd be surprised. Winning attitude.
You haven't heard what that is yet. That's Movie Night with Shane and Tanis, where we will, of course, watch Star Trek and maybe some Star Wars for Tanis.
I think if they're paying that much money, they ought to get to pick the movie.
Oh, we just said we'd open up with Star Trek. But after that's certainly in the cards to have picked movies on that one. So lots of options.
Right.
Yeah. It's as long as no one picks Titanic.
I was like, oh my God, Shane, you might have just opened yourself up to some terrible torture.
Well, I can say that pornographies will be off the list. As well as
pornographies.
As well as any other X or
X-rated pornography.
Well, we're not going to watch X-rated movies in Discord.
That would be kind of weird.
That's what Skype's for.
Okay, enough of that. But anyways, if you want more of this, you can find this at patreon.com/RSBNB. And thank you once again to our supporters this month. It truly means the world to us.
Does that mean you're not going to watch Titanic with me, Shane?
I don't want to watch Titanic again. That was a very long movie.
I have never seen it.
You watched that with Brad?
I dodged that bullet.
No, we didn't watch that.
Oh, that was Twilight.
No, that was actually, it was over MSN. Because I had a back issue at the time, and my sister was watching it, and I was on the couch, and that just happened to be the movie that was on then. So,
Twilight. I think one of his favorite movies.
I think the question to ask is why Brad was watching Twilight.
Because he wanted to, Shane. I'm not going to shame Brad. I'll shame you, though.
All right. Well, movie picks aside, let's move on to our discussion questions. Yes? Okay.
All right.
First one is from Parnassius.
Hey, guys. It is Parnassius here with a small discussion point for you this week. Recently, I did a 10-hour test at Chaos Giants just to check how many herbs I could collect in the time and compare it to growing them myself, as farming should really be the primary way that they come into the game. Disturbingly, in that 10 hours, on top of the almost 6 mil GP in coins I received with a spring cleaner elking the selvage, plus another couple of mil worth of runes and other assorted drops, I picked up over 1,800 herbs, a mixture of Lantodium, Zirrit, Ranna, and Avento. That worked out to over 180 herbs an hour. Now, if we compare that to doing a farm run, where if you have every patch unlocked, you would average between 80 and 90 herbs every 80 minutes. So AFKing these monsters works out at more than double that rate. Now, we saw the success that the mining and smithing update brought about for miners in allowing them to be the primary source of ore in the game. However, we also saw a huge backlash from the PVM community crying about their loss of GP from said update. Do you think that herbs should go back to being an unnoted drop as they were prior to the EOC update? And perhaps as a compromise, the players can make or buy herb bags to store them in. These herb bags would, much like the gem bag, be able to hold 60 of each herb in it before needing to be banked. There could be four levels of the herb bags, dividing them up between levels. So sort of say between level 1 to 25, go into one bag, 26 to 50 in another, 51 to 65 in a third, and the higher level 66 to 99 in the fourth bag. Alternatively, as a reward for getting 99 herb lore and, say, you know, 112 to 115 invention, you could then combine these bags into one item and have them hold all levels from 1 to 99. I remember back when Aberrant Spectres were used as the alternative way to collect herbs, but to do so you were constantly running back to the bank to deposit them when your inventory was full. Nowadays, we can just sit at all these monsters and AFK for hours on end, and it has really caused the market to be flooded with herbs. Anyway, would love to hear your thoughts on this and look forward to the discussion. As always, thanks for the great podcast and happy scaping to you and the listeners.
Thank you, Parnassius. Do you guys mind if I start with this one since I just got 120 herb lore?
Shane, you got a degree in this. I'll let you take the whole damn thing.
You know.
Oh, okay. I'll cut you off when I get extremely bored.
You know,
because I got to look out for the listeners here, right?
I'm going to first start off by saying that 180 herbs per hour at Chaos Giants, or was it? Did he say Hail Giants or Chaos Giants?
No, Chaos Giants.
Chaos Giants, okay. 180 herbs per hour at Chaos Giants is totally unacceptable, along with the amount of herbs that comes into game with Telos. So I just want to get that out on the floor right now. But I also want to take everybody back to a time in which we didn't have the farming skill and we didn't have Slayer. So much so that we had to go to creatures like the druids in Taverly Dungeon to farm the low-end herbs in-game.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, man.
We're doing that. Holy
shit. I bet you
walked
6 feet of snow to school uphill both ways, too, didn't you?
Oh, you did, because you used to have to do an agility course and get a key to even get one Torstal herb back then.
Oh, the old sinister keys, is that
the
right?
Sinister keys, indeed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
So, I think we do have a problem with herbs, but that problem was, of course, brought on by Slayer, because at the time, we didn't have a real easy way to get herbs in-game. And I was exasperated by all the bosses and whatnot that came in. Farming did fix that in a roundabout way, because all these Slayer creatures also drop seeds. But I think if we were to go to have farming as be the primary method of getting herbs, I don't know if we would have enough.
I don't think there'd probably be enough.
Agreed.
You know, but that being said, I would either do one of two things. One, personally, I would just get rid of them on monster drop tables. Just whatever.
You think farming can provide enough?
Yeah, I mean, is it enough? No, they'll be expensive, but
like
they'll,
I mean,
they'll be expensive. I mean, whatever.
I would jump up and down for that second to Apple re-releasing an iPhone SE with a modern enclosure. That's the number one thing I would jump up and down for. But
see,
this would be second.
You've always got to throw the Apple.
But there's you got to realize, man, there is an army of alts. Nobody plays one account anymore. Like it's
I do.
Both people, you do. You don't have like two or three accounts going on.
No.
Well, a lot of people do, and like those two. Those your other accounts basically support your main, and all that means is that people will start doing farm runs. You know, like you'll get your alt up to
That's true.
The unknown ideal.
And I'd rather, if it's going to be like that, I'd rather it be coming in through what it should be coming in, which is farming. You know,
that's actually a very good point.
If we were to have like what, like I don't think the bag idea is a bad idea.
No,
like
the bag idea is actually a good idea.
Yeah, like
yeah, I like that.
But I that one is kind of complicated. I would just have a bag like we have a gym bag. You know it.
Yeah,
they all would go in it.
The herb bag could be made from hemp from your farming patches, and then
did you just say hemp?
Yeah, and then get some magic stuff from your player owned farm.
They put weed in the game.
I was gonna say we can grow hemp.
I mean, people
when
have.
Did that happen?
I've seen suggestions where people wanted that in game before, and don't the green types
yeah, of course.
Like making their stuff out of hemp?
I mean, it's a good alternative.
Yeah. I mean, for rope, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
No, like, it's useful as a fabric.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Have, like, some kind of, maybe, like, an upgrade of jute, and it could be hemp, you know? They could have hemp
are
bags.
Are you okay?
I'm all for, yeah.
Shane,
yeah,
are
of course
okay?
I'm okay.
You know, Canada's cool now, man. They're cool. They don't get uptight about that no more.
I'm a little unnerved.
Well, I mean, it doesn't need to be that. It could be jute fiber. Or some other kind of fiber we farm. And then
now
make it from
he's
the player
back
own farm.
Tracking. There's the Shane we all know.
But, you know, I think, and this is what I have said since the beginning, is that the mining and smithing rework is a good field test. It builds goodwill with the community. It lets GIX do things that are inherently more risky, such as removing herbs, removing logs from drop tables like Telos and of course, these giants as well. And, I mean, if they were to proceed with that, they would probably be fine from the skiller side of things. And I mean, the combat types will just have to find a different way to make the money because let's be real,
well,
the money is going to keep coming in.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, you can drop money for all I care. It doesn't matter. It's just, it needs to, you know, needs to be a little more balanced. Yeah. I thought of something and then I completely forgot it.
Yeah, that's hard when that happens.
Like, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I still just wonder if it would be too much to have herbs removed from all drop tables.
I'm gonna go with yes.
Yeah. Because that's the way I'm leaning too, just from my experience of trying to train Herblore before Slayer came out. And this goes way back, of course, to 2005.
But just make – okay, so let's go with what Panassius is saying, with the herbs being unnoted, and you can have a bag. So then they would come in, what, about the same rate as gems, maybe.
Yeah, and then maybe with that you could at least half this rate. So farming is the best way of bringing them into game.
Right. Oh, and I remember now. Also, I just want to say, like, I still do not believe that the high level PVM got as hurt as everyone. I don't think they got as hurt as they want you to believe they were hurt in the mining and smithing.
Yeah.
That was mid level bosses that dropped out stuff mostly, and Slayer. That was not your Solak, and Telus didn't even drop that much of that from what we've been told.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what David said too. So yeah. He was pleased with the changes. I think it's just the whiny community speaking up too much in certain places of the internet. So
yeah.
I wonder what you're referring to there, Shane.
Oh, I think it's quite clear. But yeah, so let's just recap this. The herb bag is a good idea. I don't think we can say with safety to remove all the herbs from drop tables. I'd say probably halve the amount by making them unnoted. Like you guys said, that would be a good middle ground to take, because I honestly have bad memories of doing Herb Lord before Slayer started dropping so many herbs that I don't think we want to go back to that kind of situation where we have farming relying on the sole method of doing that. I mean, if they wanted to make people farm more, then sure. But I'm still going to have to put a question mark about removing all the drops entirely myself.
I bet farming would definitely gain in popularity.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'd be jumping up and down at that. I just don't know that it's the right decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing I hope that our listeners will appreciate, is that if I was a biased person, I would be saying that, oh, this is the best solution ever since sliced bread, and it needs to happen this way. But I am actually thinking as to what would be best,
Shane,
for the game.
You're not a biased
I just think
person.
It separates, like, I don't know, I just think it creates a better, it's kind of like a workflow type of thing, you know? It's like everything that is a resource like that is on the skilling side, is brought in through skilling.
Yeah.
Money could be brought in from combat and stuff.
Yeah, that, like, would be awesome.
I don't know. I just feel like that would be, yeah, the ultimate, where we want to go with this.
Yeah, that would be optimal. I just don't know if it's enough.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it was, you know, I was just talking to friends tonight. I'm talking about, you know, if war is going to stay the way it is, no matter what happens, whether it happens with herbs or logs or like it's happened with the ore, there's 18 years worth of crap on the GE, you know?
Yeah. And you know, to talk about resources in general, I think that I've had a good experience with this week, because I was trying to – I mined all my ore for my Masterwork armor set, and I'm just getting around to that now.
Oh, nice. There you go.
And it was very hard to buy stone spirits.
Yeah, I didn't use hardly any of those.
Yeah. It was really hard to buy the tier 60 ones. The tier 70s were okay, and the tier 40s were okay, but the tier 50 and 60 ones were hard.
Hmm.
Or sorry, just the tier 60 ones, because I already did my rune mining. But no. And you know, I think we also have to look into account and say that, I mean, do people truly understand the farming run and how to do a herb run effectively? And do they understand that it takes 5 minutes to do, and you can pull in around 100 herbs every hour and a half? No, most people don't know that. And if they did know that, I think we'd see a shift in terms of the amount of people farming. And, you know, just the very fact I ended up with a cash stack of 50 mil on double XP weekend from that speaks volumes to what herb farming is indeed capable of. So, while I would like that, I think I need to reserve my opinion to get some more economic data before I would say whether or not that's something the game could do. So,
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Anything else on this one?
I got nothing.
Let's break things. Yeah. Let's break it and find out if it works.
And the herb bag is a really good idea, so much so that I think that should probably come into game regardless of any drop table changes. So,
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Alrighty, the next one is from Chodo from Clan Quest. So, Hoods, what is your honest opinion about the Posty Pete event? I think our honest opinion is that we spent 5 minutes on the podcast talking about it, and that's really all there is to say about it.
Damn.
Ah, that was so bitchy.
God. Shane, you're such a bitch.
That wasn't meant to be like that.
That was good.
Shane, you're such a bitch.
Why?
Well, we already spent 5 minutes talking about it earlier. You're such a bitch.
I mean, it's a currency. It's a currency event. You get little trinkets while skilling, and if you get enough of them, you can buy a Posty hat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan. Like, it's not. Now. It's not anything particularly, you know, huge.
Yeah.
Such a bitch, Shane.
Like, I'm going for the hat, and I think it's good to have these things to encourage people to log in with, and that's really all I have to say about it, and that's why we spent 5 minutes on it.
Let me sum up Shane's opinion. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Have I ever got anything decent from a parcel? I think my best is a stack of dragon bones.
Oh. Well, then... I mean, I've gotten the rings and all that shit, but I probably tried it once because I don't know. What's the point? I don't know. You can't move. You just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I got it, but
yeah,
I never really used it.
All right. How's your day? Thursdays are good. Thursday is podcast day. It's also Star Trek Discovery Day. How was your guys' day?
Good. Long. But pretty good.
I went to class. It was uneventful.
All right. For Earth, what is your relation with planet Earth?
It's me, bitch.
It's a great question. Really good. And when will you join the Hoodie in Faith? I have some flyers if you need them. Have a blast. Unhoods.
No. Just because it's going to piss him off.
Yeah, and I think I made the saying that I wasn't going to join any of these Clan Quest subgroups like the Hoodie in Faith or the Paphia. So... I
can't join one without just pissing off the other, and, you know, I already piss off enough people on a daily basis. So
is,
like,
that the, is that, like, the PVM little group?
No.
They're a bunch of cultists.
Oh, that's some secret handshake shit? I want in.
No, you don't.
No?
No, you don't. No, you don't. Run.
Right.
Basically, imagine the Hoodie in Faith is a religious organization.
Run.
Like a real one?
In game, in Clan Quest.
Oh, okay. I was like, no, man, I am not going or knocking on doors and asking people if they heard the news. Not doing it. That's not my thing.
Well, Tannis here has been guesting in Clan Chat, so he will probably be hearing about the Hoodie in Faith at some point going forward.
Yeah, I've heard him do that on questions, but I never heard what it was.
Yeah, it was something that started as a typo and just grew.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Shane can relate to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Personally.
All right. Well,
George Bush.
Well, unhoods from the question and answer period of this episode of RSBNB Update. If you guys want to send in your own questions, email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us as a DM on Twitter @RSBNB, or you can, of course, visit update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right. Ready for some tech news?
Sure.
This piece of tech news, quite honestly, Read like an April Fool's Day post.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
From a Facebook.com personal note penned by Mark Zuckerberg entitled A Privacy-Focused Vision for Social Networking.
Yeah, that's more
shit. Did you get this out of the Onion?
No, this is indeed real. Here's what he says. Over the last 15 years, Facebook and Instagram have helped people connect with friends, communities, and interests in the digital equivalent of a town square. But people increasingly also want to connect privately in the digital equivalent of the living room. As I think about the future of the internet, I believe a privacy-focused communications platform will become even more important than today's open platforms. Privacy gives people the freedom to be themselves and connect more naturally, which is why we build social networks.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I just, man, there's all, people say all this mean stuff about him, but you know what, after reading this, I think that's all gone, to just trust him.
He continues, I believe the future of communication will increasingly shift to private, encrypted services, where people can be confident that what they say to each other stays secure and their messages and content won't stick around forever. This is the future I hope we will help bring about. We plan to build this the way we've developed WhatsApp. Focus on the most fundamental and private use case, messaging. Make it as secure as possible and then build more ways for people to interact on top of that, including calls, video chats, groups, stories, businesses, payments, commerce, and ultimately a platform for many other kinds of private services. This privacy-focused platform will be built around several principles, and since we're getting into the meat of the matter, I'll just mention what they are. Private interactions, encryption, reducing permeance, as in how permanent their items are, safety, interoperability, which is odd coming from Facebook because he says people should be able to use any of our apps to reach their friends and they should be able to communicate across networks easily and securely. And finally, secure data storage. And then he rounds off the end. This is just in the introduction here. So this is a long post that if you find this at all amusing, you should read for yourself. He says, over the next few years, we plan to rebuild more of our services around these ideas. The decisions we'll face along the way will mean taking positions on important issues concerning the future of the internet. We understand that there are a lot of trade-offs to get right, and we're committed to consulting with experts and discussing the best way forward. This will take some time, but we're not going to develop this major change in our direction behind closed doors. We're going to do this as openly and collaboratively as we can because many of these issues affect different parts of society. So as I said, that definitely does sound like an April Fool's Day post.
Yep.
It's just utterly hilarious to see this from Facebook. And, you know, granted they do have WhatsApp right now, which they claim is end-to-end encrypted. There's no way, of course, verifying it because it's a closed-source application. Do you think anybody will trust them if they come out with the Facebook-branded secure communication method?
They shouldn't.
I'm sure someone will, but correct, they shouldn't.
And WhatsApp is apparently serving as the blueprint for this. In that they say WhatsApp, for example, our team is obsessed with creating an intimate environment in every aspect of the product. Even where we build features that allow for broader sharing, it's still a less public experience. When the team built groups, they put a size limit to make sure every interaction felt private. And he says, in a few years, I expect future versions of Messenger and WhatsApp to become the main ways people communicate on the Facebook network, including end-to-end encryption on both of these and make it more private and more secure, and then ultimately add more ways to interact privately with your friends, groups, and businesses.
Sure, Mark. Sure.
Basically, yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on. And
God,
on.
It's like reading
He's
one
not
of
convincing anybody.
Hey, I've kept it to under 1,500 words recently.
God, how long is this one?
I'm just about to check that right now. Any guesses on how long this monologue by Mark Zuckerberg is?
What's the longest Informer article you've ever written, Shin?
Like 2,800?
3,400 words.
This is 3,220.
Yeah! So good.
And I mean, it's just hilarious. I don't think they're going to need to do a lot more than this to regain trust, but
yeah,
that's just my perspective. We'll let the listeners see what they think. This next one here is a bit of a PSA for anybody who uses Google Chrome, specifically so much so that Google Chrome was hit by a zero-day attack vulnerability this week, which means that the current version of Google Chrome that was out prior to this update is vulnerable to attacks on the open internet, and there was no mitigation for it. So what you want to do in this case is head on over to your help menu and choose About Google Chrome and make sure you have the most recent version of Google Chrome, which is 72.0.3626.121. So make sure you have your Google Chrome updated. Because, I mean, this is a bug that is in the security side of the platform, and it does have the potential to allow for attackers to access memory and access Chrome's file reader API, which effectively allows the browser to read the contents of files that are stored on your computer. So this is a pretty big deal for Chrome.
Yay.
But most Chrome installations ship with the automatic update turned on. But if you want to make sure you have the correct version, just head on over to the Help menu or the Chrome menu if you're on the Mac and choose About Google Chrome. And it will give you the update and then restart Chrome. And you will be up to date. Okay. This week we also learned about the future of USB, the connector that everybody loves. In particular, we learned about USB 4. It feels like just a couple years ago we got USB 3, but the details of USB 4 have been unveiled, and it will support speeds of up to 40 gigabits per second in terms of transfer, and it will be interoperable with Intel's Thunderbolt standard, which is used on the Macs. And this is a good thing because there's not too many Thunderbolt devices out there. So it'll basically allow for vendors to produce those devices at a lower cost if they choose to ultimately support USB 4. And I hate to bother you with this, Earth, but it will also use the USB Type-C connector.
Why would that bother me?
I thought you didn't like the USB Type-C connector.
I mean, it's fine. I just think people who aren't able to figure out how to plug stuff in on the first try, like...
Okay. I thought you had a bigger issue with the USB Type-C connector.
Not a serious one.
Okay.
Although nothing I do is serious, so...
USB 4 will also support charging speeds with 100 watts of power, in addition to its 40 gigabit per second file throughput. And it will have enough video bandwidth to drive two 4K displays or one 5K display as well. And it'll, of course, be backwards compatible with all the different versions of USB, from USB 3 all the way down to USB 1. So they're going to finalize the spec this year, and we should see the first motherboards and devices with it either later this year or in early 2020.
Neat.
And, you know, I honestly think that this is a good move, especially for the Thunderbolt side of it, because Thunderbolt is something that has been relegated to Apple computers entirely. And, I mean, have either of you guys ever heard of Thunderbolt being used on the PC?
I thought it was a Mac thing.
No, it's an Intel thing, and that underscores why bringing this out into the USB standard in general is going to be so good, because if a device is Thunderbolt capable, it will be able to work with USB 4. So everybody wins with USB 4, it seems. Though, I mean, we are heading down the path of being able to support this 100 watts of power on these chargers. So it'll be interesting to see if more companies start developing one port solutions or not with everything, because in theory you can have video out of USB 4 and you can have data out of it as well. So you can have one computer with just four USB 4 ports and away you go. But anything else on that one or tech news in general?
No. That's yeah. It's embarrassing. I don't really even know the difference between like 1, 2 and 3.
And see, that's the thing. That's what makes USB so great, is that you're not meant to notice a difference, just that it gets faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we go then.
So we're going to talk a bit about the March Skill of the Month, and we are going to be bringing out some changes for April 1st and April Skill of the Month for these competitions. But for our Fishing Skill of the Month in March, we currently have Sorensen 57 in first place with 3.7 million XP gained. Then we have Parnassius in second with 1.8, and Flash in third with 1.7. So interesting to see what people can do with fishing this month. And JamAndy52 signed up, but he only has 200 million XP already, so can't get any more, unfortunately.
Oh,
must suck.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to get 200 mils. So, all right, I'll just take also this time to mention that the Informer Roundup for the month of March is up, where you can recap all of February's articles and whatnot. You can find that at informer.rsbnb.com, including our coverage of Game Blast and Special Effect with Mod Porky, as well as your article, Tanis, on RuneScape accessibility. Then we also have David's coverage of the Shadow Reef in Elite Dungeon 3. Sirion talked about swearing off Treasure Hunter. Alex talked about quests, and I talked about Togglescape, and we also did have a guest article about clue scroll hunting. So you can find all this and more at informer.rsbnb.com. So, you guys ready for some achievements?
Yeah.
All right. So, stepping down from the absolute whirlwind that the double XP weekend achievement week was, we only have a small number this week in comparison. So, starting off, we have Dirtbolt New with 99 Slayer on March 6th, Stickman H with 99 Invention also on the 6th, and Ferox Kratos with 99 Mining on March 5th.
All right, and then Parnassius got 120 attack on March 4th and 120 strength on March 4th. He was busy. And then Holy Nicholas got 99 smithing on the 3rd.
Holy Nicholas.
Batman.
And then the Quiver got 99 attack on March 3rd. And then Parnassius, yet again, got 120 fishing, and Nextiamaris got 99 dungeoneering on March 2nd.
Right on. Nice achievements, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and of course it is time for Pick of the Week now, and we do hand this over to the guest most weeks, so what do you got for us?
So my pick this week is a pretty old game, like early 2000s, but it is still one of the best and the best in the series, in my opinion. SimCity 4.
I remember running that on a Mac at my school.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Basically, you just manage a city. It's very, like...
Would you say Zen?
Yes, that's a good word for it. Um, just you manage a city. Shane, you've played it, so
I've played it once, and that was about it.
I don't remember anything about it. So like, you just have to make sure you manage things like education, crime, water, power. You zone different areas for residential, commercial, and industrial use. You have to monitor like air and water pollution. Then just health, traffic, like it's very relaxing. And it has one of the best damn soundtracks of any game I've ever played.
Released September 22nd, 2003.
Yeah.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Mm-hmm. Does it still work on Windows 10?
Yeah.
Playing it right now.
Yep, I got it. It works. I haven't figured out how to turn the damn fires and stuff off on that one, though, so I don't get to relax. It's like something's always burning down or
turning well, well, I mean, it's
through the house. Fire stations.
I mean,
there.
At least it's not The Sims where people are drowning themselves in swimming pools.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always remember when the graveyard would pop up in the backyard. That happened with The Sims. Anyways, we're getting off track here. I bet that doesn't happen in Sim City.
No.
No poltergeist scenes here.
All right. Anything else about this? You're playing it on Windows, right?
Correct.
Did they put out a mobile version ever?
As I said earlier, I hate mobile gaming.
Except for RuneScape on mobile.
Which makes me speaking or giving praise about it a big deal.
Okay, Joe Biden.
I know, I'm emphasizing this for you. I know you're going to beep it out, so it's both, you know, emphatic and comedic. Which is what I strive to be in my day-to-day life.
And we wouldn't have it any other way.
You're goddamn right you wouldn't. but yeah, that's about all. It's extremely relaxing. You can get it on Steam, not on Origin, because there's some weird issue where they're shipping a not-patched version on Origin. But, like, if you have a CD key, which I had and redeemed it, they do. It's weird. EA's weird, y'all.
Yeah. And if anyone's wondering about system requirements, this is a Pentium 3, 500 megahertz with 256 megs of RAM.
If you can browse the internet, you're fine.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yep.
All right. SimCity 4, link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. What have we been up to? Let's start with you this week, Tanis.
So I brought back Junior. Was that last week? This week?
I think it was this week because I don't remember hearing
about
that.
Okay, so I brought back Junior, which was my second account, and basically been beefing him up to work in the mines and. You know, I'm trying not to let him talk to other alts and stuff because, you know, don't want to give him any ideas about unions and stuff like that. But pretty much just that and been hanging out in the dungeon.
Oh, that reminds me of the Deep Space Nine episode where they tried to form a union.
I bet that didn't work out too well, did it?
No, it did not. They got fired.
Well, it's hard to pick it a space station, I suppose.
I mean, you can.
Yeah. Let's throw up a little minefield outside. Anyways, we're getting off track again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. It's been playing. All right. How about you, Earth? I know you have been playing on mobile and whatnot.
Ooh, buddy, I've had quite a week. But I took a road trip with some friends yesterday. It was very relaxing. Needed that. I've had kind of a difficult week. A lot of shit's been going on. But we had a lot of fun.
That's good.
But, like, that's really the only exciting thing that's happened.
What have you been playing on RS Mobile?
I've just been cooking.
Okay. And it works really well for that.
It does. Like, I mean, so I forgot to mention this earlier, but, like, honestly, I think my favorite part about it is that I can lie on the couch and play and have my puppy, like, you know, snuggling me as she does. And, like, that's... I can just do that. Because you can sort of do that with a laptop, but it's not the most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can just... exist there, and that's like the best part of it for me, is because at a computer I feel like I have to be doing something,
right?
But on mobile,
you're just relaxing.
Exactly. I'm just lying there on my couch watching TV with my puppy,
cooking some monkfish.
Yeah, it's extremely pleasant.
Nice. All right. As for me this week on RS, I have mined all the ore I need to start working on my Masterwork set. Yeah, I'm a bit behind on that. I was too busy with Double XP Weekend and actually talking about the mining and smithing rework to make that when it came out. And I also got 110 Invention this week, too, from siphoning XP off of my pickaxe. So that was good fun.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we'll check where we're at next week with the Masterwork progress, but that is progressing along nicely. So that's pretty much it for this week. I don't think there's anything else left to say unless you guys have anything else.
No.
I got nothing.
Alrighty then. With that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update, including an adventure into the wilderness. So... in the meantime, you're on full show notes, update.rsmedia.com for that. And if you want to join us in-game, head on over to Friends Chat, Bits Bytes. And with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.
Bye. See ya.